You look like a big man.
But to Brother Jeff, I want to say your passages of scripture, they hit home. Because God does have a plan for us, without a doubt. And the other one that I like is Joshua, when he told his people that you do what you want to do, but my house is going to serve the Lord. But anyhow, I'll try to make this as short and sweet as possible. And y'all can probably tell by my voice, I ain't a real good speaker. And
go on, brother.
I'm a pastor of a small church here in town. It's called Ward Memorial. It was the member of a denomination, but we get into that a little bit longer. But I want to say back to Brother Jeff, God had a plan for me at an early age. I'm not sure that I still know what that plan is, but because I certainly didn't live it in my early life. I was born and raised in housing projects. We grew up, you know, like a lot of families did. We didn't know we was poor, but I never went to bed hungry. I had a Christian mother. My father, he drank, but Mama drug us to church every Sunday. We went to Emmanuel Baptist up there, and everything was good. And like Michael and some of them, as I grew up, I liked to play football. I was small. I wanted to play basketball, but y'all can see why I never did get to do that. But I liked to play football. And some of you may remember Johnny Birkensteiner. He was my coach. And I got to play when we was in the 5th, 6th, 7th grade and 8th grade. But anyhow, when I made it to high school, Coach Marceau, which was the coach at that time, he said, Randy, if you'll play B team, you'll get to play football. I said, I don't want to play B team. I want to play varsity. There was me and Philip Gullett and Byron Taylor. We made the varsity team. And it was just like Coach Marceau said. I sat on the bench. But the B team didn't get no glory. The varsity did. And that was my reason, you know, for doing that. But on September the 15th, of 1968, I had a motorcycle accident. I was on my way to the Blackshear Church of God. That's where I was going to church. And my mother-in-law was going there, and I was sitting in there with a bunch of the Bowens and all, but Marie and all. But anyhow, there was a truck. It was driven by Jake Murphy. He backed out in front of me, and I was on my motorcycle. And it tore my leg off, except for the calf meat on the back. I think Lanny probably remembers me being in a cast. But anyhow, to make a long story short, when I felt like I couldn't play football anymore, my life went downhill. I wanted to drink and smoke and do whatever I could do. And I did it pretty well. There was a classmate of mine told me that when we were in the 10th grade, she witnessed me in the hallway of Blackshear High School. And I told her, and she's still a dear friend today, but I told her, I said, I'll accept God hopefully the day before I die. And she reminds me of that sometime. It was Connie Lanny, that's who it was. But anyhow, God still, he saved me from that wreck. I was supposed to lose my leg, but Dr. Warren Bickerstaff at the time, he told my mother and my father, said, there's about a 75% or 80% chance that he's going to lose his leg. The best thing to do is take it off now. Daddy said, well, I'd rather you give him that 20% or 25% chance, whatever it was. My leg grew back together, but they had to re-break it and take my bone out of my hip and build me a leg back where I could walk. And that's the first miracle that I can remember that happened to me. God gave me both my legs so I could walk. But still then, I was about as mean as I could be in school. And if it hadn't been for Dan Bennett, get me out, because I got kicked out of school. I couldn't go to 12th grade. And but Dan Bennett had helped me get a job. I went to work, most of y'all ain't old enough to remember, but there was a company called Pix and Save. They're in Waycross. I went to work for them. But anyhow, I worked my way up through them, and I finally wound up with a store of my own in Valdosta, Georgia. I traveled all around from them, but I'd met a girl from Waycross who was a Christian girl, and I was dating her, and I'd come back and too. But on one of my trips back, I was in a wreck. I totaled a car, and I walked away from it. And another one before that I'd forgotten about is me and a boy named Junior Thornton and James Boatwright, we got in a wreck. And I walked away with a broke nose and two broke toes because I was passed out in the back seat of the car. But anyhow, Junior Thornton, he's dead and gone now, but he was hurt pretty bad. And he was one of my classmates. But he's gone on, like I said. But anyhow, I can count the motorcycle wreck and three total vehicles that I went through. And God still had he had a purpose. He had something for me to do. I don't know what it was. I went on, and after my career with Pick and Save, I started a construction company, and I built houses. I've been all over the South doing work, and I've done fairly well in it. But I turned to alcohol. I didn't do much drugs. I turned to alcohol. I had my wife, and I had two lovely children, and I went, bought some land up in Effingham County and went to work up there. And I never did think I had a problem with alcohol, because I like to deer hunt. And every week after, or every year after deer season, I would quit drinking for 1 month. I said, if I can do it out at 1 month, that, I'm not an alcoholic. So I wouldn't drink for 30 days, period. And when I'd be up there in Effingham County, after about 2 days of not drinking, my secretary called my wife, and she'd say, Miss Nina, you got to call Randy. You got to do something, create a problem. We can't take him no more.
Create a problem.
So I'd come back to Blackshear and try to handle whatever problem they had then. And after 2 or 3 days, Nina called Debbie. And she'd say, Debbie, I can't take much more of him. You've got to create another problem up there and get him back out of our hair down here. We just can't live with him. But they'd do like that for 30 days. But I done well, or fairly well, and my wife and my family and a lot of people that knew me, they'd say, well, Randy, you got a problem drinking. I said, I don't have a problem drinking. It comes real easy. No problem. And they said, well, you're an alcoholic. And I'd make a lot of that. I'd say, I'm not an alcoholic. They said, you are. I said, no alcoholics go to meetings. I don't go to no meetings. And, I just laugh it off. But God was still working on me. And I don't know why. He touched me. He gave me a beautiful family that I love dearly. And then I met a guy, a friend of mine, or become a good friend. He was a few years older than me. His name was Wayne Clough. I don't mind telling you who it was. Me and him was fishing in Alabama, Jackie. And both of us, our wives was coming over to meet us. And me and Wayne had went a few days early. But that Friday night, me and Wayne was in the motel, and we was standing out front of the Chihuahua Inn. I know Jackie knows where it was, and some of y'all that's been there. But we was cooking fish out there, and both of us were drunk as we could be. But Wayne said, he told me, he said, Randy, he said, I want you to do something. I said, what's that, brother? I'll do anything I can for you. He said, I want you to go to church with me, except he used a few words before church that you wouldn't really relate to church. And I said, why? He said, because you need to hear Joe Thigpen, and because he was the preacher at Ward at that time. And I said, okay, I'll go when the next time the weather's bad or something like that, I'll come go to church with you. Y'all, when we woke up at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock the next morning on Saturday morning to go to church, the wind was blowing so hard you couldn't haul brick. I mean, it was, the trees was bent over. And Wayne said, we can't go fishing like this. I said, you're right, I'm going back to Blackshear, Georgia. So we packed our stuff up and we headed back to Blackshear, Georgia. And we pulled in at Rollerson's, when it was Duke Rollerson's, Eric Day's Hardware. And I was just going to tell Wayne bye. And I pulled up airside of him, rolled the window down, and I told him, I said, I'll see you tomorrow night at the supper club, because me and him would get together on Sunday nights and we'd fry fish or deer, birds, whatever, and we called that our supper club. I said, I'll see you tomorrow night. Wayne said, no, you told me that you would go to church with me the next time you was in town and the weather was bad. He said, it can't get much worse than that, and you in town. So I said, okay. So I went to church that morning, and then I started going, you know, every so often I'd go to there if the weather wasn't fitting to fish or the deer hunting wasn't good or whatever, I'd go to church. But I was still drinking. On Sunday mornings when I'd go to church, I should own stock in Visine because I'd use a bottle of it from the house to the church, and it ain't but about 3 or 4 miles to get the red out. And I didn't want everybody at church seeing me with all the red. But anyhow, after going to church for a little while, my buddy Wayne, he got leukemia. And I was chewing tobacco and smoking and all that. And Wayne told me, I told Wayne, well, you need to quit smoking. He said, well, I'll quit smoking when you quit chewing. So I got his pack of cigarettes and I got my pack of Red Man and I put them in the trash. But before then, I left a little bit out. My daughter was 12 years old and she got up in my lap and I asked her, I said, baby, what you want for Christmas? She said, Daddy, all I want you to do is quit smoking. And so I said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll quit, but I ain't going to quit until January the 1st because I know I'm going to be partying, so I'm going to want to smoke. But January the 1st, I smoked my last cigarette that morning. I saved one from the party that I was at, and I smoked it, and I ain't never picked up another. And my daughter is now 40 years old. So, and that's from the time that she was 12. But anyhow, getting back to all that, Wayne got leukemia and he got sick, and I started going to church. And the more I'd go, I'd get more involved. David Baxter was my Sunday school teacher. I got where I started going to Sunday school and church at the same time, but I never would go on Sunday night. And I'd sit there and I'd listen, and we'd have, you know, the Sunday school and church, but that afternoon, come 4 or 5 o'clock, I'd want to go have a drink. And I never did drink during the daytime, y'all, when I was working. That's why I didn't think I was an alcoholic, because I didn't drink during the day like a lot of people does. I'd wait until 4, 5, or 6 o'clock when I finished drinking or working, but then I'd start. And I didn't think I drank much. I didn't drink but a quart a night. And I didn't think that was too bad. I was buying a half a gallon, a case of half a gallons every week. And that ain't counting what I was drinking at the bar. But to get to the point, the Holy Spirit was working on me, and there was no doubt. But I didn't want to quit drinking. I was having a good time. I'd made a little bit of money, and I was going to Mexico and to Canada and wherever I wanted to go fishing and hunting and just having me a big time. But there was one afternoon I come in from Effingham County, and I'd go by what they called Oak Plaza Lounge. It was there, and that's where a lot of us business people, we'd meet up and we'd drink and talk and tell jokes and whatever. But I come in from Effingham, and it was about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, And it's Friday afternoon, I'll never forget that. And I walked up there to the table because the bar was full, and I didn't like it because there's one of them seats supposed to be mine, but somebody was sitting in it. So a bunch of my friends were sitting there at the table, so I went over there, and I sat down, and the little girl come from behind the bar, and she said, "Mr. Andy, you want your usual?" And I said, "Yeah, and you be sure and put enough whiskey in there that my wife will know that I'm drinking when I get to the house." I wanted her to know it. And but before she could get to that, behind that bar to mix me a drink, I said, "Baby, I don't think I want a drink today." And she said, "What in the world?" I said, "I just don't think I want a drink." I said, "Bring me a Coke." And she went and fixed me a Coke. And I said, "They're my buddies. They didn't think nothing about it because they seen me with a cup in my hand." And but I drank that Coke, and after an hour or so, I went home. I didn't tell Nana that I hadn't had anything to drink. She just had my plate fixed because she knows that I eat at 7 o'clock at night. Everything was good. And I didn't say nothing. I went in there and I went to bed. And just like I'd normally do, I was in bed by 9 o'clock. I went back to the bar on Saturday. I didn't drink nothing. I went and worked all week in Effingham. Didn't drink nothing. I come back Friday afternoon, and I went back to the bar, and I sat there with all of my buddies, and they were laughing and doing whatever. And I didn't drink nothing. And that went on for about 2 or 3 weeks like that. And I come home one day, and instead of on the way to drive in, I got a thing of, "Well, why do I want to go to the bar anymore? I ain't having no fun there like I used to." And so I didn't. I went straight home. But y'all, then I started reading my Bible. And I still didn't know what God had a purpose for me, what he had in mind. And I'm not sure that I know the complete purpose now. But I pray every day that he'll keep leading me and guiding me and showing me. Yeah. And so finally everybody knew that I wasn't drinking. And then before long, David Baxter got sick. And I started filling in him for Sunday school. So now instead of sitting in Sunday school, I was teaching Sunday school. And a little church in Alma called Friendship got to where they needed a pastor. They couldn't find one. So the church organization, which is the Methodist organization, I'll go ahead and put that out on the table. They asked me if I'd go over there and be a lay speaker until they could find somebody. And I agreed to do that. So then I really had to get into the Word, trying to study and prepare a message every week. So I done that, and I done it for a year and a half. And finally, I just told them, I said, I miss my church at Ward. I'm going to go back. So I went back. And I was the Sunday school teacher there for about a year or so. And the Methodist people, if y'all don't know anything about them, the organization, they like to appoint their people. And they come to me and wanted to know if they could appoint me, or they said they were going to appoint me to be the pastor at Ward. I said, "Man, you need to get something straight right now. You ain't going to appoint me to do nothing. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to teach the Word of God to these people, and if they want me to be their pastor, they can appoint me. But there ain't no organization going to appoint me." And so anyhow, I become the pastor, and I've still been the pastor. But about, I guess it's been 3 or 4 years ago, that group decided they were going to start letting gays and lesbians and people like that get in the pulpit. And I went over there, and because I told them, I said, "We ain't doing it." And they give us some kind of material they wanted us to read and things like this. I said, "I'm not fixing to read that to my people. I'm not going to do it." And so they called me over there to Ray City, to where they got their home offices in this part of the world. And they went to telling me that I was going to do this and I had to do this. And I sat there and listened to them, and I told them, I said, we're going to pull out. We're going to pull out the Methodist organization. They said, do you realize how much money it will cost the Methodist organization if you pull out and some of the other small churches start doing that? And I told them, I said, I really don't care about the money. I'm not in this for the money, and y'all shouldn't be either. They literally told me I was hostile. I said, you don't know what hostile is until you come to my church and you start messing with me or my people. And at that time, they said, well, you need to go back out there and sit until we finish talking with these other pastors, because we got to talk to you some more. And I stood up real nice, and I said, if you want to talk to me anymore, you can come to Blackshear, Georgia, because I'm fixing getting that black Toyota out there, and I'm going home. And I did. And y'all, by the grace of God, within about less than a year, we were no longer associated with the Methodist organization. And I know now that part of what God's plan for me was to get into that church. He probably had plans that I just ignored before, but he had plans for me to get into that church, and without a shadow of a doubt, I know that God put me there.
Yeah.
There ain't no other explanation for it, because I did not want to quit drinking. I never wanted to be a pastor. I never wanted to be a Sunday school teacher. But I'm here to tell you, when God wants you, He'll get you. If you'll just give yourself to Him one little bit, He will take over.
Yeah.
When He gets His foot in the door with you, and He is the door. We all got to walk through that door at some time. But He will get you, because He took this little short fat boy out of the bar, and me not wanting to quit drinking, I liked it in there. I loved it in there. I couldn't wait. I lived for it. I hated to leave on Sunday afternoon or Monday mornings, because I knew I wasn't going to get to sit there in the bar with all my friends, because at that time Effingham County didn't have a bar. When I went there, the only place you could buy beer was at the auto parts store. And my truck was new. I didn't need nothing. So I had very little time going there. But Brother Jeff, what you said about God having a plan, He is the plan. And He knows the plan. He is the plan. And if you'll give God an inch, He'll take a mile. And I firmly believe that, because He done that with me. He took me out of a lifestyle that I thought was fun.
Yeah.
And it's like I tell my children and my grandchildren today, you know, I wasn't a real good daddy. I wasn't a real good husband. But I'm the best grandpa that's ever been. And I tell my daughter that's got my two lovely grandbabies, I'll say, baby, God give me these kids, these two grandbabies, as a blessing for not killing you.
Yeah.
And I believe, you know, I tell her that jokingly, but God knows how to humble us.
Yes, He does.
And y'all, I stand before you today a humble man.
Yes, sir.
And I know that every word that I've spoke to y'all today, that I've asked God to give me so I could talk.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty nervous. I ain't real good at talking in front of people that I don't know. But thankfully, I know these two and Jackie and Lenny out there. So I'm in pretty good. I feel like I'm at home. And I felt like I was at home. And I was going to tell this before long. But when I broke my leg, when I told you about it, Mr. Jack Bowen and his family let me work in tobacco with them one summer, and I've got my belly full of Miss Bowen's fried chicken and cooking and slept on that porch with the. But Terry, which y'all all know, Terry, he was a slave driver now.
Yeah.
He didn't want you to have much of a break. He'd get you up and make you go back to work. But I appreciate y'all letting me speak with you and share my testimony. And I've just hit the highlights, y'all, because there's so much that I could tell you that God has delivered me from, that it would we'd be here for breakfast in the morning if I told y'all every time that God has saved me.
That's right.
And I'm like what Michael and some of them was. Sometimes I don't know how I got home.
Yeah.
But God got me there.
Yeah.
And he's kept me alive for all these years.
For a reason.
And I ask y'all to keep me and my church and my family in y'all's prayers so that, you know, we can keep fulfilling God's mission or his plans for us.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You go, Randy. Thank you.
I give them out, too.
You got one from me. You can't give that one away.
I got it.
He gives them away too.
Yeah, I got them. So, I got some in my truck right now. I give them.
He can't give that one away though. You got to mark that one.
Y'all got to make the stage lower. Put stage.
They need another scaffold right there for
where's
short
tent,
people.
Tent and stage, man. Anybody else?